But it's good to be back with you. And I've been trying to be sensitive to what I should be sharing this morning. So can we just pray before I stop? Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. Christ the Lord. Father, we thank you for this morning and for another day which you have made and given to us. The entrance of your word brings light and understanding. So, Father, I pray that through these lips of clay, you will speak to the hearts and to the minds of your people, and that your name will be glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen. When I started preparing, the title of my message was Remember Lot's Wife. But by the time I finished speaking with Pastor David this morning, the title had changed to The Power of Divine Visitation. Jesus was having a chat with some people, and he said to them, remember Lot's wife. And it's an interesting story. The story of Lot is a very interesting one. And I've been reading about Lot a lot during the week. Lot was that nephew of Abraham. He was Abraham's brother's son, and he joined in a journey with Abraham when God called Abraham to leave his father's home and the land where he was living. Lot joined in that journey. And it's an interesting story of how Lot, probably because of the anointing that was resting on the life of Abraham, Lot in turn prospered. And the Bible in the book of Genesis speaks about how the land couldn't contain both of them because they had such large herds. And so there's a conversation between Abraham and his nephew, and Lot sees the cities of the plains, the well-watered cities of the plains, Sodom and Gomorrah, before the Lord destroyed those cities of the plains. And Lot decides to go and live there, and Abraham says, well, I'll go and take the land of Canaan. And both men prospered in different ways. But the story of Lot is a rather tragic one. In Job chapter 10, verse 11 and 12, the Bible says that you have clothed me, Job chapter 10, verse 11 and 12. And I digress slightly, deliberately. It says that thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh, and hast fenced me with bones and sinews. You have granted me life and favor, and your visitation hath preserved my spirit. You have granted me life and favor, and your visitation hath preserved my spirit. The reason that I think I was meditating on Lot's wife was that Lot's wife reminds us of someone who was a recipient of the grace, the favor, and the visitation of God. Because before God decided to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham had a divine visitation. And in Genesis chapter 18, you read about Abraham having a divine visitation. Oftentimes, divine visitation precedes a miracle. And in Genesis chapter 18, we read about these three angels who visit Abraham to announce the birth of the Son of Promise. We read about Sarah laughing when she hears that she's going to have a child in her old age. And after the angels have had this conversation with Abraham about how he's going to be the father of many nations, we read in Genesis chapter 18, verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? And then there's this conversation about how the Lord is going to do justice and judgments, and the Lord was going to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. But before he did that, he told Abraham about it. And I think the reason that he told Abraham about it was because he wanted to deliver Abraham's nephew, Lot. And you see Abraham having this discussion with God and saying, Lord, if there are 50 righteous people, will you destroy the city? And God says, look, if there are 50 righteous people, look, you know, I'm going to withhold judgment. And he says, look, okay, but there aren't 50 righteous people. He says, okay, so how about if there are 40 righteous people? And God says, look, if there are 40 righteous people, I'm not going to destroy the city. Then Abraham thinks, okay, Lord, how about if there are 30? God says, I ain't destroying the place if there are 30. And Abraham's thinking, okay, Lord, how about 20? God says, I won't destroy the city if there are 20 righteous people. And then he says, okay, Lord, how about if there's only 10? And he said, if I can find 10 righteous people, I'll not destroy that city. And Abraham realized that he couldn't win this one with the Lord. And then we move on in the story from Genesis chapter 18 to Genesis chapter 19, verse 1. And the Bible says, Genesis chapter 19, verse 1, says that there came two angels to Sodom at evening. And Lot sat in the gate. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face to the ground. The first visitation in Genesis chapter 18, verse 17, was a visitation of angels to Abraham, a visitation which preceded a miracle. And then in Genesis chapter 19, we have another visitation, this time a visitation to Lot, and it is a visitation that is going to precede a deliverance. Because the Bible says that those angels had been sent on account of Abraham's friendship with God for the salvation of his relative. Some of you here today may have loved ones whom you are concerned about. And you're concerned about those loved ones, you're concerned about those family members because they may have turned their backs on the Lord. But on account of your relationship with God, God wants to save the members of your family. Amen. On account of your relationship with God, God has you very much at the front of his mind. Could I invite you to say to yourself, God thinks about me. You see, God had planned what in God's eyes was going to be the result of his justice and his judgment. And the result of that justice and judgment was going to be destruction. And we don't question God as to his methods and his ways. But in the midst of that decision that God had made, God said, there is a man called Abraham. And I love that verse that we looked at, which says that, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? I pray that we will come to that place in our walk with the Lord, where God can say of us, that there are certain things that he will not hide from us. And that there are certain things that God is going to do in our lives that he will reveal them to us before they happen. This is a man who could have a conversation with God. This is somebody who could talk to his father and say, Father, if you find 50 righteous people, please don't destroy this city. And God says, look, if I find 50, I won't destroy it. And again, I pray for each one of us here today that we will get to that point where we can have those kind of conversations with our Father. That kind of father-son conversation. And God says, he says, look, son. And no matter how old you are, gentlemen, you're not too old to be God's son. Ladies, no matter how young you are, you're not too young to be God's daughter. And God is saying that, look, because of our relationship, I need to warn your nephew Lot of what is about to happen. And so God actually sends a couple of angels to go and visit Lot. And it's a very interesting story about how these angels arrive and, you know, they are having this conversation with Lot, and the men of the city come, and the men of the city say, hey, who are these strangers? Bring them out and, you know, we'll do to them whatever we want to do to them. And then Lot says, no. And as you read through this story about Lot, it says in Genesis chapter 19, verse 14. Sorry, Genesis chapter 19, verse 12. It says, and the men said to Lot, have you here any besides son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whatsoever you have in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because the cry of the city has gone up to God. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spoke unto his sons-in-law. It was only this week that, well, last week that I was reading through the Bible, and I had been thinking that Lot's sons weren't actually married. Sorry, Lot's daughters weren't actually married. But it says that Lot went out and he spoke to his sons-in-law, which were married to his daughters. And he said to them, get up and get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take your wife and the two daughters which are here, lest you be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him out and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay in all the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. And then we read about how, as they were fleeing, his wife looks back. In verse 26, it says that his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. There is a divine visitation which compels us to become witnesses. There is a visitation from God which causes a certain urgency to dawn upon us, to realize that sinners in a dying world need to turn their back on sin and run into the arms of a loving God. And that is something to which all of us have been called. The power of divine visitation to turn you into a witness. Amen. Not only a witness to your family, but a witness to your community. Lovely to come to church and to be comfortable in our comfort zone. But there is a dying world outside. And part of the reason for the divine visitation isn't just to save us from the wrath to come, but it's to save our families and our friends. As I was reading through the story, I felt it was rather sad that when Lot delivered this message to his sons-in-law, they thought that he was joking. They didn't believe him. These are his daughter's husbands. They thought that he was joking. And so they started mocking him. But he did what was right. And when you go out witnessing, sometimes people will mock you. When you decide to be a witness to the message of Jesus Christ, sometimes people will mock you. But that doesn't mean that you should stop. Because as a witness, you are a carrier of the truth. And the Bible says that after he had witnessed for a period, got to a point where the angels, talks about Lot lingering. And it says it got to a point where the angels had to literally take him and his wife and his two daughters by the hands and drag them out of the city. And I thought it was rather sad that his sons-in-law got left behind. And I think it was even sadder that his wife looked back. Now, some people may want their spouses to become a pillar of salt, but that wasn't the intention here. That was not the intention here. I just want you to pause for a moment and think that here is someone who was a recipient of such grace, such mercy, such kindness. Forgive me if I'm sounding morbid. No, that isn't the intention at all. Please. But I just have this sense of when God visits us, he visits us either in, as in the case of Abraham, God is visiting to announce the birth of a miracle, or as in the case of Lot, he is visiting to deliver. And in that process of visiting to deliver, he wants us to be witnesses of that great deliverance. It may be that God has sent me to announce to you a visitation which he has in store for you. I don't know the purpose of God's visitation for you. Whether it is to announce a miracle in your life, whether it is to announce some deliverance which he has purposed for you, whether it is because he wants you to be a witness to your community. Whatever it is, God knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly where you are in that your journey through life. He knows exactly the situation that you are facing. He knows the extent to which your soul might have been grieved by the sin and the depravity around you. But he sends his Holy Spirit to lead and to guide you. And nowhere is it shown any clearer than in this story. God actually sending his angels to lead a man by the hand to his place of deliverance. And I pray for each one of you here today that the all-seeing, all-knowing God will intervene in your life in the way that he intervened in Lot's life. Amen. The world in which we live has become a very, very, very dangerous place. Over the last few, weeks or months, I've been watching with horror on TV, whether it's fires breaking out in parts of the world or floods, bridges collapsing. And we had a heat wave a few weeks ago. Anybody here enjoy the heat wave? And I was thinking to myself, when I was in school, like 100 years ago, we were told, very old madam, we were told that the sun is about, 93 million miles away from the earth? And I was thinking, well, here you are. You've got this massive ball of fire up in the sky somewhere. It's been there since the dawn of creation. Self-fueling, self-sustaining. Never stop shining. And if God really wanted to play a trick on us, all he needs to do is to turn the heat up by a few degrees centigrade, and we'd all become like a barbecued sausage. But God, in his mercy, has ensured that the planetary system, everything, is in its proper place. And the sun is just hot enough, and the distance is just about right to ensure that life is sustained on Earth. And the Bible says that the firmament declares the glory of the Lord. And when you go to the Hubble bubble telescope thingy-me-jig, you can look into that planetary system with the billions of galaxies. And one songwriter said, "Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works your hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, your power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God, to thee. How great thou art." And this great God can have a conversation with mortal man and discuss with him what he's about to do. And it is so humbling to think that this God who says that the nations are like a drop in a bucket has the time to think about us. You have clothed me with skin and flesh, and have fenced me with bones and sinews. But in reality, I am nothing. For from dust I was taken. Dust I am. And to the dust at some point I will return. But God was able to send two angels to go and take this guy out of that destruction which was coming. And I pray for all of us gathered here today that if there is some fire somewhere, if there is some flood, if there is some bridge which is going to collapse, that the angels of the Lord will go before you. Those angels of goodness and mercy, spoken about in Psalm 1, that those angels of goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, to deliver you and your loved ones in the time of trouble. May God's visitation be real to you. May God's visitation be something tangible something that you can reach out and touch and say with a certainty, God has visited me and God has turned something around in my life and in my experience and in the life and in the experience of my family and of my loved ones. Maybe you're here today, you have a son, you have a daughter, who you've been praying about, who you've been concerned about, who doesn't want to have anything to do with the Lord. Maybe it's a parent, dad, I don't know. Some loved one, someone close to you. God is actually more concerned about them than you are. Lot wasn't expecting a visit from God. But God stepped into his situation at a time when he least expected it. I pray that you will be divinely visited. Amen. And I pray that that divine visitation, I pray that you'll be divinely visited as an individual. I pray that you'll be divinely visited, that your family will be divinely visited. I pray that you're, as a church, as a body of believers, you will be divinely visited. Amen. And that that divine visitation, the fruit of that divine visitation, will be growth and it will be change and it will be deliverance for your community. That it will not just be you going to heaven, but it will be you taking your family and your friends and your neighbors with you. And that when they get to the pearly gates, they will say that it was because of the care and the concern of my brothers and my sisters in a little church in Park Road that I'm here today. I think that the Father's heart, the beat of the Father's heart, is that no one should perish. The beat of the Father's heart is that all should be delivered. And the beat of the Father's heart is that those who have been visited will in turn reflect the heart of the Father. The Bible says that we were created in his image, and it is his will that none should perish. And so as his children, if we bear his characteristics, if we're created in his image, then the same mercy and compassion which flows through the veins of the Father should be flowing through our veins as well. And in conclusion, when God sends his angels to come deliver us, it is not his will that any should perish. It is not his will that any should be left behind. I think sometimes our humanity and our self-will and our desire to hold on to the things of the world can sometimes get in the way. And so remember Lot's wife. But I think the real story is about the power of divine visitation and what it means to us as children of the Most High. That as you go to work tomorrow, whatever it is, whatever your calling in life, whatever your stage of life, whatever you might be retired, you might be a pensioner, and you might think to yourself that I have so much time to be a witness. I have so much time to be going out there and sharing the love and the mercy and the compassion of God. You may be a young person in university. You may be a middle-aged man like myself. Wherever you are, whatever stage, may God's visitation make a difference in your life and in the life of those around you. Shall we pray? All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily. I surrender all, I surrender all, all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. To Jesus. eyes are